Joining us right now from the Utica School Board, Mr. Chris Salatino. Chris?
Good morning, Mark Piersma.
Busy time for you.
Very busy time for me, but let's get back. Being a business owner downtown?
Yes.
Eliminate the parking. Eliminate the parking. That's it.
You got to get a lot of tickets.
The parking tickets.
Yeah, I know people, lawyers, businessmen, you name
it. It has to stop. I've been in my office. You want to come, you run in quick, you end up getting stuck there for a few minutes, you come out, you have a ticket on your car.
Yeah.
You know, if we want to embrace business downtown, let's not penalize people.
Yeah. The school budget tomorrow, Chris. Yeah. It's here. It's here. What do you think?
Well, as president of the school board, I have to tell you, out of all the years that I've been on the board, which is going into my fifth year, I have never worked so hard on a budget. No, I think the board collectively, it was an arduous task. I mean, at one point, we went line by line till midnight, one board meeting. The governor dealt us a hand that we had to deal with.
Yeah.
I mean, we started out this year.
There was no
reshuffle. This year. There was no. I mean, we started out $17 million. And it's interesting is the fact that when you take funding away, and then that creates other issues, and then other funding sources and grants and things that we had had run out. Now we were in a mess, and you know we looked at so many different ways of cutting the budget, and unfortunately, it ends up affecting the children. There's no way around it. And I know there were some sports and some arts and some other programs. Matter of fact, there was an article in the paper this morning about field trips and things like that. I mean, these are things that are quality of life for our students, and unfortunately. We've had to take some of them away. And I never like to see that.
Yeah.
You know, I always said I want these cuts to be as far away from the students as possible. And, but the one thing we did have is we had a fund balance. We had a rainy day fund. And it was pouring, Mark. I gotta tell you. I mean, and to try to balance the budget, it's difficult. And you know what? We didn't ask. And the worst part of it was with the governor. I mean, we didn't get all of our funding information until February.
Yeah, that's a handcuff right there.
It hurt us even because now we're really scrambling to try to see because we had no idea. But we were already at that point trying to decide what we were going to do financially and how we were going to address the budget issue. And it's boiled down to now we've whittled it down to $2 million left. We have a $2 million budget gap to plug, 2.1, I believe it is. And I was just telling you, you know, the voters are voting on a spending plan.
Mm-hmm.
They're voting on this is how much we have to run the district with. Ultimately, there's one situation that's going to occur. If we get a concession from the Utica teachers, we've already gotten the concession from the Administrators Union, which was greatly appreciated. All of the unions have been wonderful to deal with. I mean, I'll tell you what,
yeah,
they've been great.
They got to understand the pressure that's on this budget, too.
You know, and we were finding some really creative ways to make this easier on the teachers. I mean, some of it was a spending freeze. We came up with an idea of taking maybe just some vacation days. I mean, we didn't care how it came up.
Right.
There was a furlough plan we had and a couple other plans. We were trying to come up with ideas, all of us working, saying, okay, what's going to be the best way and less intrusive on the teacher's contract as well? And ultimately, we're still trying to negotiate the final numbers. So I don't know how we're doing it, but I'm hoping that when the teachers come out and vote on this, that they'll vote that they'll take a wage freeze
and the union administrators, the real representatives, they've said yes, we'll put this, we'll agree to this. If
they have to put it to a vote.
They put it to a vote. So.
Right.
Now the teachers vote on that.
Now we have to decide on what are we putting to a vote. That's what we're negotiating right now. Which way is the concession going to go? Is it just going to be a wage freeze across the board and, you know, no one takes their step? Or is it something else more creative? And that's where we're at. But it doesn't make a difference what the voters vote on because they're voting on their spending plan.
Now the Utica OD, just came out with the Utica School District, salaries.
Right.
A lot of people are shocked at some of the teacher salaries, I guess.
Well, did you read the article? Because I thought they originally, and you know, the interesting part is that they originally looked at, I think, writing the story to really see something negative. And we're commended by the state for having administration costs that are less than the average. And we also get funding because we save money. The state also gives us money back because of the fact that we have administrators, you know, our administration per student is less than most schools.
I didn't really understand the point of the whole database being released and everything. I didn't see, and I was trying to read through it, and I was looking at it, I'm like, well, But, you know, there's teachers there that are making good money. They've been there for 30 years. And I thought that was, I just didn't get anything out of the information that they released.
No. Well, you know, again, I can't comment on what the motivation or why they released it. But I will tell you this. When I took this job as president, there was one thing I said was that this is an open government. And if you want the information, put it out there for the public to see. There's nothing to hide here. You know, unfortunately, when you deal with educators, I mean, these are the people that are educating our children. These are the people that are creating our future. And, you know, if we're worrying about paying them, I understand, you know, this is tough times economically. But these people start out with master's degrees, mm-hmm. heavy student loans. And we have maintenance people that start out more than our teachers. You know, again, it catches up in later on in their career, but unfortunately, it takes a while. So, and even with the administrators, look at this is the if we, and they did comparison with us, we're in line or less than most districts, even our superintendent. And it's been one of the challenges we have in finding a superintendent is that we're at the bottom end of the scale, and try to get someone to come to Utica, New York, from a metropolitan area or from another area in the country, And not only come here to a very challenging district, probably one of the most challenging districts in the country. Very unique. And then giving them what we're trying to pay them, it's been a very difficult challenge for us. And now we're back doing it again.
Yeah. It's just, it's like I'm looking at it right now. You can find it on the OD's website. They have it.
Yeah.
A first grade teacher is making $75,000.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. She's been there since 1971.
Right.
It's just like that, I think it isn't anything out of the ordinary for somebody that's been there since 1971. She's been there longer than I've been alive, Chris. 10 years longer than I've been alive. So it's like, do you take care of the teachers that have been there, and they know the system, they know the community, and they know the kids, and they know the families. You can't put a price tag on
these. These are traditions, and there's no substitute for experience. I don't care what it is, especially in teaching. Okay. Eventually, and here's what happens, and it all works out in the end, because now she'll retire, or he'll retire, whoever it is, and the next person will come in, and they'll start at a very low salary, and then again, it takes 25 or so years to get up to the steps. I mean, even when you get the contract is interesting, is that when you have a teacher with no experience, a first-year teacher.
Yeah.
Okay, they freeze their steps for the next 2 years. So they come in, and then their step is frozen for 2 years.
Right.
So they don't take any salary increase for the first almost 3 years.
Yeah, and, you know, I know a lot of young teachers, that kids that just graduate college, going into the teaching profession. A large part of my friends are. And it's not like they're millionaires, and they understand that, but they
because they're hurting. I mean, obviously, and I'm not saying anybody that goes to school and has student loans today and things like that, you have to deal with them.
Yeah.
You know, but again, we require a master's degree and certification in the state of New York. So, I mean, they have just a little bit more in education loans and things like that.
And you get what you pay for, too. I'm a firm believer that if you want to get well-qualified candidates for your teaching positions, then offer a good salary.
Yeah.
And I don't think you guys are going above and beyond that. Yeah, I think you're offering something that's fair and competitive for the rest of the state.
Well, like you said, if you look at them throughout the district, I mean, we're probably on the low end, comparatively speaking, to districts similar to us.
Now, does that make you, so a report like this with the OD that releases this huge, you know, database, and they foiled it or whatever they did, and does it make you as the president of the school board be like, well, what's the point of this?
No.
No?
Nope. Look, this is taxpayer money. While, I mean, we understand that a lot of the revenue comes from the state. We still pay state taxes.
Yeah.
Regardless of the situation, whether it's local contribution or statewide contribution, the taxpayers are paying for it. They are entitled to seeing the information, period.
Chris Altino, the Utica School Board president, in the studio right now. It is 7:45. It's a beautiful Monday. Well, I don't know if it's beautiful, but it's got to be looking, the weather out there, at least, Chris, for you, it's got to be looking better than what you've been seeing. Because you've been down south.
I've been down south. I was out west.
Yeah.
And the weather was beautiful. And unfortunately, it's been rainy here.
So you're the reason it's raining.
Exactly. No, but they took quite a hit down south. And we did here. I mean, unfortunately, everybody kind of...
Yeah,
we don't need any more rain here.
No, we don't. And I think they said Bill Curtis today on the WKTV Sunrise edition of the news, which you could tune in right here to listen to, shameless plug. He said we got about an inch of rain over the last couple of days. But no flash flood warnings or anything like that in the area. So that's a positive because, ugh. And I feel bad for the people up in New Hartford. And I didn't know it was this bad, but up in their, I think it's Beechwood Road, they have a really bad problem with flooding. And this poor lady got up in front of the board last week, and she was pretty much crying because, you know, they've been promising them that they're going to be dealt with this for the last, I think the guy said, 13, 14 years. He said it's just thousands of dollars, it seems, every year.
It is.
It's flooding's the worst
thing
ever.
And most people don't have flood insurance. And if they do, it's very expensive.
Yeah.
And when they're not in flood zones, but unfortunately, they're getting reoccurring flooding. So now people have to decide what they're going to do. And I don't think that the towns and the cities have really had updated the storm situation, sewer situation, where they can handle the water.
Yeah, that's what they're looking at right now. Because now, so people have to, if they want to run like a storm pipeline through somebody's yard, they have to get their permission for it.
Right.
And I guess that was an issue that there was a lone standout one year. And
who would argue with it? It's devastating. I know. And it affects them as well. I mean, you just,
I mean, to run a pipe in your backyard, what's the big deal? If it helps you out your neighbors, then I would say I'd be all for it. But anyway. Anyway, the school board budget vote is tomorrow, much like every other school district. The Utica's district vote is tomorrow.
Tomorrow. And I just ask that everybody go out and vote. This has been a very, very difficult budget year for us. I don't see anything changing next year. I mean, matter of fact, we've used our fund balance. The state and the federal government has to step up for us. We're a unique district. I know I've come on this show before, and I know I've talked about how we have we're one of the only growing districts in the state. Many of them are refugees. Many of them require mandated services, unfunded mandated services. So there's an awful lot to it.
Hi, you're on with Chris Saltino.
Yes. I sent you a paper in the mail the other day, as you recall, about 3-4 weeks ago. You said a kindergarten teacher wasn't making $77,000.
Yeah, I thank you for that. Thank you for that letter, but well, because you didn't put your name to it, and I don't
I don't have a name. That's factual information. It's all the salaries. The Frankfort Schuyler School District has the largest increase in taxes in the area, 10%. You never mentioned that. The tax base in the area cannot afford these salaries. If you don't
and
have the money,
I didn't get
you.
You didn't
people?
Leave your name on the letter, by the way.
Why do I have to have a name on the letter? I'm giving you factual information.
Well, okay, well, you got your facts off
your
topic.
You're pro teachers because your
but
girlfriend
listen,
is a teacher.
But listen, you got
when
your
you
facts.
Start, when you buy
sir,
a house,
sir, you got your facts off of topics.com.
You're a renter.
Your facts are coming off of topics.com. How can you quote that as a credible source for news?
You're a renter. You don't pay taxes.
But,
you don't pay school taxes. You own a house?
No,
I don't
but,
so. Guess,
but my landlord pays school taxes, so where do you think that cost goes
well,
to?
Let you me
think
tell he just, you something. I'll compare
No. Hold on.
You're just in school taxes.
You're sending me facts from topics.com, and you don't put your name to it.
Why do I have to have my name?
Why don't you?
Well, that's a factual information.
Where did you get it, though?
It's right on the internet.
It's on Topics, which is a internet rumor slander site.
That's not a rumor. That's factual information.
But where was it coming from?
It came from the superintendent of schools.
Okay, so that's a Frankfurt superintendent of schools.
That's
he
right.
sent you that. He
Those
sent
are
you that.
Actual salaries of every teacher at Frankfurt Schuyler.
Okay, so what's your issue?
The issue is the taxpayers in Oneida and Herkimer County cannot afford to pay these salaries. Cannot continue to get 10% tax increases every year. You're going to force people out of their homes.
Chris, you want to talk about...
And that's why I commend Andrew Cuomo for wanting a tax cap. People cannot afford these continual tax increases every year of 10%. When you buy a house and you start paying taxes, school taxes, then you understand. You're 27 years old. You don't understand yet. But you will one of these
days. I wish I was 27.
Thanks for your time.
I wish I was 27 still. Thank you. Thank you for your Topics fact sheets. Listen, man, if you're going to send me something in the mail, don't send it from, print something off from Topics and send it to me and say, here, I'm right. And then not even leave your name or your phone number because I'm going to throw it in the garbage. Just like what Topics.com is. Garbage. It should all be thrown in the garbage. So when you print something off and say, this is factual because I got it from the internet, which is Topics, then get out of here. Get real.
Chris, well, unfortunately, I didn't hear because the headset wasn't.
Yeah, his beef is with the teacher salary in Frankfurt, the Frankfurt Schuyler district.
Right. And listen, it goes back to and if you looked at the census for this whole entire area, we're getting to be an aging population. There was something in there.
Yeah, and that's no surprise.
And it's not a surprise. And I can understand that people with the tax situation as it is. And that's why one of the things is that I had to hold the line on taxes in the district this year. 1.98%. I had to do it. I mean, we really needed to raise taxes, and the state looks for you. And this is the interesting thing. He talks about, he commends Governor Cuomo for the tax and for the tax cap. Tax cap will crush the city of Utica. We have over 60% of our taxpayers or our property owners are exempt in the city. 30%, 35%, whatever it is paying for the entire tax burden in the city of Utica.
And that's not right.
It would crush us.
And listen.
Number one. Number two. He talks about Cuomo and saying, hey, look, he stood the line and he's cutting. He just transferred the burden to the local taxpayers. It's all that happened. The state's sitting on a fund balance of billions of dollars. They didn't have to. They're not dipping into it. We had to dip into it. And now I'm scared for next year. What is our balance budget going to look like next year when I don't have a $5 million, fund balance to offset what the increased cost, because our costs are increasing. No doubt. We're going to expect probably another 400 to 500 students coming into the district. We still have to give them surplus, you know, or certain or mandated services. Where do we go?
Right.
And we're losing probably another $1.6 million in federal jobs bill that's coming to the end at the end of the school year. You know, and those were there for paying for special education teachers and some other teachers. So, you know, when you sit there and say, all right, you commend someone for some of the ideas, it's just bad.
And as it is right now, they have to lift some of these mandates on the taxpayers, especially with this property tax cap. And all the local politicians are out for it. They're saying, you know, this is what we have to do. And up in New Yorkers can't burden the property tax. They're every year they go up and it's driving people away from the state. Well, what's it going to do for our education system? And we have to get some of these mandated. These unfunded mandates are going to kill us.
It's going to kill us. And I think that there's a lot given the situation now. Okay, let's take for example what he wants to do. This Road to Recovery program, he's doing it on the backs of education. I mean, I call it the dumbing down of our education mm-hmm. system, because the only thing that's happening is we're going to start to see increased class sizes. We're going to see a reduction in services for our students. It affects them directly. And the interesting part is that if we have to lay off teachers, now you're going to see increased class size. It's going to compound the problem because we have funding that comes in for the reduction of class size. Some of it came in under No Child Left Behind. The goal was to reduce class size. So here we go. We receive money to reduce class size. We reduce class size. Now we have to cut teachers, increase this class size. We lose more funding.
Right.
It's almost crazy. It's ludicrous.
It just doesn't, you know, I'm upset about that last call because somebody sends in something from the internet and then they just take that as fact. But listen,
Mark,
the thing is, Chris, that we can't keep our educated young people in this area already.
No.
And if we want to limit the pay, and the teaching profession is huge around here. I know, I'd say 60% of the kids I graduated with high school wanted to be a teacher.
But you know, and if you go back a few years ago, there weren't enough people going to become teachers.
Yeah. Yep.
So there was a big push to make people become teachers mm-hmm. because we were seeing an aging teaching population, we're seeing retirements, and not enough people attending school to become a teacher. So, you know, now it's starting to change and it's transitioned over, but we can't blame the problem isn't with the teachers.
No.
It's spending across the state, and I just think that the governor put the burden on the education funding. And that's there's just so many other areas in the state to cut, you know.
Well, I don't know anything about that, Chris, because I'm not a homeowner. I don't know about taxes. When the water bill goes up, guess who gets that?
Mark, listen. At the end of the day,
it kills me.
This is why you have this show, is for people to talk about what it is, and it creates a dialogue.
You're absolutely right.
And I can understand the frustration in that man and with that gentleman. You know, 10% tax increase when you're on a fixed income, it's hard.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's hard to pay.
I understand.
It's hard to pay. I mean, for any of us. You know,
but it's do you want to take the tax increase, or do you want your kids to be able to learn to read and write? Because I think that's what it's going to come down to. Our school systems can't take another hit up here.
No, they can't. And you know what? We need the supply and educate our students and educate our this is our future of our country.
This is it. Yeah.
We're dealing with the future of our country, and this is why we need stronger education. We need more education. You know, because it just transitions on into higher education and the expenses there. I mean, it's all the way down. To send a kid to college today is crazy.
Forget it.
I'm doing it.
Yeah, that's got to be, I mean, it's got to be tough.
The cost is ridiculous.
It almost doesn't pay to have two kids. or three. Right.
Wouldn't trade it for the world, man.
But it's just, you know, it's discouraging.
You're not on your second child yet.
No, man. No.
You
get out. You got
to
get out of here. No way.
I wish that on you.
I'm only a one kid man right now. That's all I can handle. So, all right, Chris. Thanks for coming in.
Mark, it's always nice
and,
to be here.
Everybody, get out
early.
Everybody, get out there and vote for Talk to the Town.
Good morning. I just want to thank Mr. Salatino and the board for doing a good job. It's a tough situation. I've got children that went through the system, now a granddaughter, grandchildren that are going through the system, and they're receiving a good education in the cities, and they can't cut. They just can't cut. I don't know what the future is going to be.
Well, thank you. And, you know, we talk about funding, and we shouldn't place the burden on our students, the cost of funding,
the
cost of
education. No, I mean, there's other ways the governor can cut. Why is it all on education? It's the future. I can't understand why people don't understand this.
I know. And we're already, as a school district, we're probably one of the lowest per student cost to educate than any other district in the state. So we're already spending less to educate our student as it is, and it really takes a hit.
And that's why our test scores aren't the greatest, and all these mandates that this state hands down. What the teachers are teaching with one hand already tied behind their back, they're going to put two hands behind their back.
Well, the teachers, unfortunately, they teach for testing, unfortunately, and that's really a situation that I think we've all been trying to see if the state will change, because these state testings really don't show the picture of a district like us, because when you have 20% of your student population or more as English as a second language, I mean, they're coming here, they don't even speak the language. How do you expect them to pass a proficiency test?
It's like the kids, they go to Proctor or any of the schools, they go to the United Nations, because you got, what, how many languages spoken there?
I think it's almost 40 languages now.
Okay, I'd like these teachers that live in the burbs to come in and experience what the Utica teachers do. They would not be able to comprehend it.
No, it's challenging. And you know what? Our teachers are dedicated. I have to tell you, I know many of them. I've had the opportunity to be with them. They're so dedicated. They're so concerned. You know what? And they're the ones who are stepping up for us right now as not only the taxpayers, but the students, to make sure that we have enough, funding to help us balance this budget. And I commend them for it too. We have the greatest teachers in the world here. And
I agree. Look at the scholarships that are handed out at graduation and where the graduating class goes.
I know.
People should open up their eyes and see the teachers are doing one heck of a job in this city, and they should thank them every day for the job that they're doing.
You know, I have my son who's at Catholic University, and I'll tell you what, he just came back off of his first year. He's a football player, you know, and that's even challenging being a freshman and having that.
Yeah.
Came back with great grades, school, challenging like any other student, but
sure.
You know what? He got a great foundation in education here, and he's doing extremely well. And if you apply yourself in this district, you will certainly do well.
Excellent.
Oh, that's what I say. You know, if you apply yourself, the city school district offers these kids every opportunity to do well. It's up to the parents and the child themselves.
All right.
And if
exactly.
They do, they'll do well. Thanks again.
Thank you for your call.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
And if the parents want, your first step is to get out and vote for the budget, and it's tomorrow. And it's going to be interesting to see whose budget passes and whose doesn't, because everybody pretty much in the county is up for vote.
But everybody needs to at least do one thing, vote. Get out
That's
there
it.
And vote.
Yeah.
Get out there and vote for your representative on the school boards. Remember, we have two people running here. We have one seat open on the school district board here. And get out there and vote on this budget.
It's important.
It is.
And get off of topics. And if you're getting your information off of topics, I will say this, you're a dummy.
Let me tell you something. Nobody should even listen to that thing. I mean, it's just
unbelievable. Well, you know, to go as far and as to print it out and then to send it to me in the mail and not have your, you know, come on. Come on, man. Seriously? I'm supposed to be like, oh my God, I'm so impressed he printed out topics. Thank you. Thank you. Anyway, Chris.
But like I said, Controversy creates dialogue.
Yeah, you're right.
And we had an opportunity to talk about it and address this situation, too. And you know what? Those are the people that you want to call in.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So thanks, Chris Altino. Everybody get out there and vote. And that's straight from the mouth of the Utica president of the Board of Education, Chris Altino. So get out there and vote.
Thank you, everyone, and have a great day. Start a great week, even though it's raining.
Even though it's raining, we'll be back. We'll be back right here on 95.5 FM, WUTQ.
The Talk of the Town with Mark Piersma, only on 95.5 FM, WUTQ, 1550 and 1480 AM, WADR. Stay tuned.